Okay, good morning. The shiur is sponsored for Refuah Shleima for Ben Sion Reuven Ben Shendel. Okay, Resh Mem Aleph. To conclude Hilchot Sniut, Resh Mem Aleph, Seif Aleph. Echad me'advayim shesone HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One of the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hate, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves when we behave with Nekiyut Kedusha, as the Mishnah Berurah points out, being clean and Kadosh. So what is one of the examples is Hamashtin Bifnei Mitato Aron. If a person urinates in front of his bed, next to his bed, that's what it means. Lav dafka, if one is naked or not, either way. Hamashtin Lifnei Mitato Aron, when is it a problem? So it says, first of all, it's Mevi Lidei Aniyut, leads to poverty. Velo Amran Elada Mahadar Ape Lapuria, when you are facing your bed. Aval levarai leitlanba, but if you do it far away from the bread, it's no big deal.
Just to jump in for a little second, there's some puzzle books. Hundreds of years ago, we did not have bathrooms. Most people had jars or
basins,
cups, and so on and so forth. And instead of
it wasn't so easy to go.
So easy to go, and so typically these things were, you know, kept by the bed or in the room or so on and so forth, and then you would dump it out the next day or so on and so forth. So
historical perspective.
Historical perspective on
now,
why. Obviously, we're not
going to
be urinating by our beds.
Right. It is only a problem if you do it on the floor. And it stays there of aldemana leitlanba. But if you put it in a cup, and especially cover it up, so this way you can speak in divrei Torah, it is not a problem. Okay, if it's in a bucket, it's not a lack of kedusha and nekiut, but you want to have it covered for the sake of tzinius, for saying for Torah, for learning Torah and brachos. Obviously, this is not recommended behavior nowadays. Unless, unfortunately, one person is sick, then they should do it in a bottle, and that's lechatchila not a problem.
Catheters are not a problem,
too. In fact, we learned that earlier. Very good. Okay. We are starting Hilchos Shabbos today. Right now. The Mishnah Berurah has a very short, very good hakdama. Just a quick, brief synopsis taken from the Mishnah Berurah's hakdama. Is again not these are all things that we already know and have heard before, but Hilchos Shabbos, the mitzvah of Shabbos, is one of the most important mitzvahs that we have. Chazal say, "Kol hameshamer et Shabbat kiilu mekayim kol haTorah, v'kol hamechalel haShabbat kiilu kafar v'kol haTorah kula." If you keep or disgrace the Shabbos, it's keneged the entire Torah, and. Why? Because this is one of the shoresh of our emunah. It's one of the, we all know it's one of the main, top priority mitzvot. And it's, this one in particular is really the shoresh of our emunah. Shabbos is all about the two main fundamentals of our emunah. Two of the biggest, strongest fundamentals is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. He brought us into this world, created it for us with a purpose. And he continues to run the world. He continues to be involved in the world. And really all mitzvot stem from there. He gives a nice analogy how each one of our, it's discussed at length, especially in some Sifrei Kabbalah, Shari Kedusha is one of them, Aruch Chaim Vital, that every one of our limbs, every part of our body is connected a mitzvah. Especially such as the positive 248, we have so many limbs we have, at least the men, and it's connected to 248 positive commandments. So he points out that Shabbos is ki'ilu connected the head or the heart. When you get up into Shemayim, if you weren't Makayim, one of the mitzvos, so you'll be missing a finger. It's unfortunate, but you'll be basically looking normal. But if you're missing your head or your heart, that's not something you want to be missing. So that's as an analogy. Okay, now let's start learning Hilchos Shabbos. Resh Mem Bet. Lizeher Bichvod Shavat. Resh Mem Bet. Seif Aleph. Even if a person needs help from other people financially for Shabbos, if a person could help himself to work a little bit extra to have money to put food on the table, or to save some money to put food on the table, especially for the Kavod Shabbos in particular, one should do so. So here, let's keep reading, and then we'll take a step back to understand this better. V'lo amru, Chazal only said the following words: Asei Shabbatcha chol ve'al titztarech labriot. Make your Shabbos chol. In other words, eat the same way you eat on Shabbos as you eat during the week, a very simple meal, and don't ask help from other people. That's only lemi shehasha'a dechuka lo biyoter. That's for somebody who really doesn't have means, and the person doesn't have extra money to put food on the table. So you don't ask, and you do your best to save a little bit from what the little bit that you have during the week, so that you have more on Shabbat. Okay, so the Mishnah Berurah explains this very well. He says there are basically, you can break it up into approximately three categories. So a person who could get by and could have just enough food to eat on his own without asking for help during the week and for Shabbos, he shouldn't ask for a favor. And he shouldn't take any tzedakah. Right? If a person has a little bit of extra money, then he should, perhaps a chiyuv, a person definitely should spend that little extra money to have something extra for Shabbos. Whatever that is for you. Whether that extra thing is a kugel, he says it should be, probably refers to a protein. His example is a very simple dish of fish. So then, whatever you can do to make it a little better than the rest of the week, if you can do that, then you must do that. If a person can honor it with much more, then that's even better. Okay. He quotes a famous from Chazal that a person, it's already set min hashamayim that what a person is going to have all year from Rosh Hashanah. And they say when it comes to spending extra for the sake of Shabbos food and for Talmud Torah, that's whatever is needed for to expenses for learning Torah, that's out of the box. That's out of whatever Hashem decided for you. And Hashem will increase what you earn if you exert yourself and spend a little extra in those two areas. So that's, okay, so now, if a person has enough all by himself, either nothing extra or a lot extra. And then you have this other category, that if a person is already can't make it himself. Now, by the way, if a person could only afford two meals, so he says it's better just to have two meals and not get help. But what if a person can't get by? He's forced to ask for help, and he needs to get some from a friend or tzedakah. Once you're on that level where you don't have enough by yourself and you're already getting help, then there's a chiyuv on the gabbai tzedakah to give you enough for three meals, and at least, again, that same chasa deharsana mentioned, a little dish of fish, a little something extra, so that once you're already getting help, so get the help. And your meal on Shabbos should be at least one notch higher than during the week. Okay. Interesting question, if you're allowed to borrow money, take a loan, with ribbis or not. So there is a discussion in the post-game. There is, Lemaisa, it seems to be a das yachi that you're allowed to even, and it's not the recommended psak of even on ribbis deraisa. But Lemaisa, some post-game point out it's only ribbis, only allowed to pay ribbis if it's mutter lechatchila, such as from a goy, any derech heter from a Jew. Rav Avadi Yosef says that even ribbis derabanan you're allowed to. Okay. Let's continue. A couple other examples that we know about for Kavod Shabbos is taking a bath or a shower, wearing freshly clean clothing, we're about to see. And where some say you should have Shabbos shoes, some say you don't need to, but if you have Shabbos shoes, you should polish them. Kol kaminaga makom. Okay. Umitakanat Ezra. Shehiyu mechabsim begadim b'chamishi b'shabbat b'mnei kavod ha-shabbat. So there's a takana from Ezra in the Gemara where it says one has to do laundry on Thursdays. Why? In order to make sure you have clean, fresh clothing for Shabbos. That's very important. So they say you shouldn't be wearing the same shirt or the same clothing week after week after week. If it's very clean, probably 2 weeks in a row is no big deal, but it depends, you know, if it's wrinkled, not wrinkled, etc. If it feels fresh or not, okay. Let's see.
Historical reference.
Yeah.
So in those days, it wasn't like we have so much clothes. They had very, very limited number of clothing. So
right. They probably only had one or two shirts.
One or two shirts, togas, or whatever it was.
Exactly.
Like unbelievably wealthy. So Kedai, if you didn't want launder it on Thursday, then it wouldn't be ready for Shabbos.
Exactly. So the other thing historical is we're about to get to. We're over here already. Is their laundry in those days, they didn't have washing machines. So it would be a struggle, and it would take them hours. So that's why he made a takana that it must be done on Thursday dafka, and not, well, you want it on Thursday, especially if it's only, you only have one day. If you'd wash it on Sunday, it'd be dirty by Friday. The other thing is, dafka, it should be on Thursday, so that on Friday, so most explain that his takana included that you shouldn't be doing laundry. What level leikuva is a question, but you shouldn't be doing laundry on Friday. So nowadays, what's the din? So there are some that say you're not supposed to do laundry on Friday. There are others who say you are allowed to. For example, Rav Avad Yosef says, lechatchila, I don't know if I would use the word lechatchila, but he says, if you need to do laundry on Friday, it's not a problem. You have a machine, it's no big deal. Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, for example, quotes Adif, it's preferable not to do on Friday. But by definition, that means if you need it to be done then it's okay. But obviously, Chachamena Barosha, you don't want to be spending your whole day doing laundry on Friday and not have time to do laundry, to not have time to prepare for Shabbos. Okay. Haga. No hagin lalush kadesh shi'ur chala babay lasot mehem lechamim nimtzo aleim shabbat v'yom tov. It's an important minhag to make your own fresh challah. And in those days it was a much bigger deal than nowadays, because nowadays we have bakeries and it's very easy to get a fresh loaf of challah. But still, it's an important minhag. Okay. V'hu mikvod Shabbat v'yom tov v'ein l'shanot. Okay, one should try not to make challah. There's a custom to have some kind of a dish where you have, I guess, dough bread on top and on bottom of it. Zecher laman she'amachus lamal lamata, zecher laman, because it was covered with dew above and below. V'lo ra'iti lachosh laze, and I did not see anyone who was careful with this.
Eat something like a sandwich?
I don't know, maybe a baraka. I don't know. Probably more like a bereka what he's talking about, the custom. Okay. But we don't have this custom as far as I know. Resh Mem Gimel. Okay, so these are going to be a few halachot as far as making money on Shabbos with, or having your property make money for you, or renting it out to a non-Jew. I'll just suffice to say, hopefully we're going to learn the general klalim well. Hopefully. But the Lamaisa specifics in each individual case is quite complex, just to factor in everything. And then, as the Mishneh Berurah points out on the last line of the page, that really everything is dependent on, as we'll see, everything is completely dependent upon the minhag ha-makom, how things are done, to avoid marit ayin. We don't want people to think that you're working on Shabbos, so you rented somebody out just to work for you, just on Shabbos. So it really depends on what's considered normal. When are people going to be? When is it that people are going to see what's going on and think the worst that you're being mechallel Shabbos? Okay. Aleph, Resh Mem Gimel, Seif Aleph. Lo yaskir adam erchat shelo le'en yehudi. Person's not allowed to rent out his bathhouse to a non-Jew all year. Vipnei shenikra al shemo, because everybody is going to think that it's yours. It probably has your name on it, a big shell, a big sign. So everyone knows it belongs to you. You're the Orthodox Jew. And they see that it's being used. Ve'eino Yehudi osel melacha bo b'Shabbat. And it's open and running and being used on Shabbos. Yistam merchatz lav la'ari suta. Because, generally speaking, a merchatz is not divided with a non-Jew with this, what we call an aris, or arisut. What is that? That, let's finish the words. Lav la'arisuta avid. It's not done in this manner usually. So what are we talking about? Anytime you have, there's a few different ways that people will categorize as three basic ways how people are paid. One is what we call an arisut or an aris. He makes a percentage of what he does. You give him a field or a merchatz, bathhouse, and he works it. And whatever he makes from it, he gives you a percentage and he keeps a percentage. So he's really benefiting and working for himself, and whatever profit comes out is completely, directly a benefit. Every penny he earns, the profit, he gets in his pocket, a percentage of it. So he's doing it for his own benefit. Schirut, obviously, this is when a person is hired either by, just as basically it's a salary per day, per week, per year. So the person is obviously working for himself, but he's also for his own benefit, but he's also working for your benefit if you hired him to specifically work on Shabbat.
Like a
an employee, it's a normal employee, really. He's what do you mean? Every employee makes his money. He's getting a wage per hour, per day. Not a percentage. Yeah, we'll discuss after. An aris is when it's a percentage. And a schirut is more of a set salary. Kablanut is when he's getting paid by the job. Lav dafka a job, but basically that's the concept. Is he is, it's his own personal project. He does it on his own time. That's the general concept of a kablanut. So it's on his own time and it's his own project, and he does it when he wants to, and he makes all the profit as well. Okay, but we'll see with the examples. Okay. So ve'amri shekol revach shel Yisrael. So in the case of the merchatz, since the people are going to think it's all yours, and you hired an employee just to work there for you, all the profit goes to you, and you're just paying him a little salary. V'sachar to any Yehudi b'kach v'kach l'yom, and you pay him this amount per day. So that's marit ayin. It might be a seder. If it is an aris, so it's really a mutter. I mean, it's really a mutter as far as Hilchos Shabbos are concerned. But the problem is, we have an issue of marit ayin. Okay. V'nim to any Yehudi osem alacha b'shichut shal Yisrael. And it looked like he's doing it specifically for the Jew on Shabbos. Okay. Aval sadeh mutar. But if it's a field, then it's mutar. Why? Shekein derech lekabel sadeh be'arisut. Because it's normal. It's a question if it's, for it to be considered normal, is it the majority or just normal? But, okay. It's normal for it to be done with arisut. And therefore, because we know arisut itself is mutar lechatchila, as long as people know that it's done the arisut, where he's making a percentage. Even though they know, since it's normal to do it by arisut, they'll assume that the Jew's not going to do an avera, and of course he took it by arisut, especially if it's the rove. Ula'atzmohu oved, and he's working on his own time for his own benefit, etc. Kafa Chaim just points out, your idea issue is, in general, it's usher to rent out a field to a non-Jew in Eretz Yisrael. So this halacha is more for chutz la'aretz. The concept, that what we're talking about is 100% the same, that it depends if it's normal or not normal for it to be a sechir for the day or arisut. But, okay. The tanur, Dino kemerchatz. When you're renting, this I haven't seen, but if you, in those cases, when you're renting out an oven, there's a din of a merchatz and a rechaim. If it's a mill, it's the dinam is for a field. Again, it's you just look at what's normal and what's the custom in your days per item. Okay. Right. It's again, and just to clarify, to ask a Jew, a non-Jew, to work for you specifically on Shabbat, so that's going to be an Isur Gamur. And since he's not your slave, it's Isser Derabanan. Okay. Tet, Haga. Sorry, Haga. The Alpha P, Shalolakacha in Yehudi, Rak Lashalish Olaravia, Vyesh Lisrael Hana, Bemash in Yehudi, Oved Bishabbat, Share. Whenever a non-Jew works your field and is done as an Aris, where he makes his percentage, it's Mutter. Even though the Jew also makes the other percentage, it could be a bigger percentage, it doesn't matter. Even if the Jew is making money, right? The Eina Yehudi Adaita the Nafshi Aved. You didn't tell him to work specifically on Shabbat. He's working on Shabbat because he wants to. He knows that every day he works, he'll make more money. So he's doing it for himself, and you didn't hire him. You didn't tell him to do it on Shabbat. And, yeah. And there's no Marid Ayin in this case since it's normal. Right? And as we mentioned, whenever a person has a business that needs to be open on Shabbat, that's important to have a Shelat Rav, how to deal with the business being open on Shabbos. But I think we'll avoid that. The many scenarios we will avoid discussing. We're getting the basic principle. Okay. Bet. I think we're ready to move on. Yep. Afilu merchatz o tanur. Even in merchatz or tanur, im yiskiram shana achar shana v'nit parsema davar yidei kach she'ein darko liskor polim ala haskiram v'chen yiminag rov anche ote amakol mehaskiram olitnam ba'arisut mutar lehaskiram le'eni yehudi olitnam lo ba'arisut. So, even though we said by a merchatz and a tanur that in general, in those days it was asur, because people assumed you were hiring him for the day. So here, nowadays, if the minhag changes, or usually it's done, barisut, but you put up a big sign and you put it in the papers, and everybody knows that in your case, it's clear that you're doing it, you rented it out to the non-Jew for the whole year. It's like leasing a merchatz for the whole year. It's not yours, or whatever it is, for the week, for the month, it doesn't matter. And therefore, or it's known that they're doing a be'arisut, so then again, it's okay. Haga, v'afilu makam ha'asur. Im ein ha'merchatz v'atano she'Yisrael, rak sechara min Yehudi, v'chazar v'yiskil min Yehudi, shari. Also, if a place it's asur, usually, if the minhag would be asur, and you, it's not yours, it doesn't have your name on it. Right? No one knows it's yours, but you leased it from a non-Jew. Now you can sublease it to another non-Jew because it never had your name on it, unless it does get your name on it. Then Shema Yisrael Nikra Alav. Right? Basically, the principle I think is pretty straightforward. And then how it flows in each case, it's just you just see how it flows. V'cheni meish merchatz v'veit dira. Now, what if a person has a merchatz in his private apartment? Nobody uses it. No one knows that you even have it. Only the people in your own personal house have it. And you know that you hired a non-Jew to turn it on, to take care of it. And he's not and you didn't tell him specifically to do it for you for Shabbos. So then, share it's mutter. Now, there are cases when if a person did hire someone and they weren't supposed to, it's a midrabban and it's aser. In those cases, then what do? You already hired him and you already made money out of the deal. What do you do with the money? Can you keep it or not? So, yesh omrim shesacharo mutar, yesh omrim sheasur. So some say it's mutar, some say it's asur to keep the money. V'chen ikar. So the Ramah concludes that one should not keep the money. The Kafachayim makes it real simple. You shouldn't keep the money in either case, whether it was Aser Midin, we're talking about Dinei Derabanan, but either if it was Aser Midin or just Marit Ayin. The Mishnah Berurah says that generally the Ashkenazi poskim, if it's only an Aser of Marit Ayin, they say, go ahead, it's okay. Keep quiet, just keep the money, it's okay. But if If it was Medina Aser, and you hired him specifically for the day, then that's too far, and then you have to not keep the profit for yourself. Okay, maybe we'll just start. Resh Mem Dalet. Resh Mem Dalet. Aleph. Posek Adam Perush Matana. You make a deal, condition with somebody. Ime en Yehudi ala melacha v'kotzeitz damim. You give him a job and you tell him you're going to give him X amount of money for doing the job. Now the non-Jew is doing it for himself. Even though he's doing it for himself, mutar. This is a case of kablanut. You give a job for the guy to do, for the non-Jew to do, and whether it gets done in 1 hour or in a week, he gets paid the same. But whatever, the main point is, you don't have him do the work for you on Shabbat. You make sure if you're going to give in your clothing to the cleaners, you give it to him earlier. This is in America, really. Chutz Laaretz, you're non-Jews. You give it to him Erev Shabbos. You can't give it to him the minute before Shabbos and pick it up the minute after Shabbos, because then you're obviously making him do it for you on Shabbos. So in these cases, B'med V'arim Morim, when is it okay, but Sina, if it's done quietly. She'ema kiri makol shezo malacha naset b'Shabbat she'Yisraeli. And it's not known that he's doing this work for you on Shabbos. He can do it on his time, right? He's allowed to kablanut. He can do it on his time, but it can't be done where it's obvious to everybody. He's doing it for you on Shabbos. Maybe he's doing it for himself. Maybe he's doing it for somebody else. Shiharoet any Yehudi osekot any yodei shekatzatz. Because if people see a non-Jew doing it specifically for you on Shabbos, they might think that you told him to do it for him specifically on Shabbos. V'yomer shaploni sachar yehudi lasom lachol b'Shabbos. Lefichach, therefore, opposed to giving Yehudi leave not lo chatzir akotlo. Person hires a contractor to work for him, or whatever, someone to fix his home, his house, work on his wall. Oh, liksolo sadeo, or to be as a gardener, trim his leaves, whatever. Imaita melacha b'medina b'tochatchum asur lo lanich la'asur lo melacha b'shabbat. If it would be done in the city where people can see, mipnei aroim she'enam yodim shepasak, it's asur, because people are going to see that he's working on your house. He's going to think that you got hired for him on your house. But if it was okay, let's keep reading. Okay, v'afilu imdar bein agoyim. Right. Even if you're living among non-Jews, so whoever is there or guests who come visit you in your city might come and see what's going on and think you're doing an Isser on Shabbos. Maybe you hired him. They don't know that you did it by Kablanut because it's on your property. But if you have a property, a house in the middle of nowhere, or you have a field outside the tchum and you want them to work it for you, or to do something there for you, then it's okay as long as it's done derech a heter, like kablanut or arisut. V'gam ein ir acheret b'toch tchumo shel makom she'osim bo hamelacha. It's outside the tchum, or someone might be there, then it's mutar. Then it's not going to be a problem. There's no issue of marit ayin, right? As long as you did everything okay, right? There's two main things you have to worry about: is not to do an iser of hiring a non-Jew to work for you specifically on Shabbat, and not to be careful of marit ayin.